Fight, fight the good fight. And Sarah Mullally has a fight on her hands. Last week, Sarah was enthroned as the new Archbishop of Canterbury. And over 6 days before that, she'd had to walk. Many people have gone on pilgrimages, and she chose a pilgrimage from St. Paul's, London, to Canterbury. To be enthroned as Archbishop. A wonderful service. If you haven't seen it, it's worth a catch-up. Well worth seeing the enthronement from last Wednesday. She walked her pilgrimage. She didn't use a donkey. She used Shank's pony, we used to call it, didn't we? Shank's pony. She was on her feet. Do pray for her. She needs it. We need to remember her in her new ministry. So how's your pilgrimage been this Easter, this Lent, I should say, before we get to Easter? How have you got on in your personal pilgrimage with God as Lent ends today and we start Holy Week? In the Gospel of John, I read from Matthew, but in the Gospel of John, Jesus visits Jerusalem regularly as a pilgrim at the great Jewish festivals. He wasn't a stranger, he was used to going up to Jerusalem. The other Gospels concentrate on his final Passover visit, during which he's arrested, and we know what happened after that, crucified and buried. And forgotten? Ah, no, there's more to it, isn't there? But you'll have to wait for another week for that. We might easily imagine the holy city, Jerusalem, in chaos at Passover, the most important of the great Jewish festivals. Pilgrims from all around the Mediterranean, Jewish pilgrims came up for it, together with Gentile visitors on holiday. If they did it in those days, perhaps they did, yes. That swelled the local population. Passover was the most volatile of the festivals, with its reminders of liberation from Egyptian captivity. In the Law of Moses, it's instituted as a city and day of remembrance, a day of remembrance that extends to future generations who remember God's deliverance as if it's actually happening to them. This is your deliverance. With popular feelings so ramped up, the Roman occupying power raised its profile. The governor, Pontius Pilate, came into his lodgings, his palace, his accommodation in Jerusalem. He would normally stay away, out of the fuss, but no, he came to make sure that everything was quiet and everybody behaved themselves. With popular feelings so high, the governor came in and additional troops were drafted in for that period. Hopes of a free and independent state of Judea had been rumbling in Jerusalem for well over a century before. Passover always threatened to turn the rumble into a roar as people wanted to get rid of these Romans. especially when pilgrims spread branches on the road, as we've got some indication here, these palms, they spread these palms on the road to remember Simon the Maccabean. The Maccabeans were warriors, and 100 years before, Simon had liberated Jerusalem from foreign rule. Jesus was careful to avoid becoming the focus of popular dissent. He didn't want to get into any fisticuffs and any trouble and fighting that was going to take place. He wanted to calm things down. Hence, his deliberately staged arrival on a donkey. Matthew's interpretation of words from Zechariah has Jesus riding a donkey and its foal. Yes, I mean, if you take the baby along with you, you don't want any fuss, do you? You want everything to be quiet. We say to them, stop, don't cry now. Keep quiet, behave yourself. Jesus chooses to enter the holy city at Passover as its humble king. Oh, yes, he didn't deny that position. He wanted to show that he was the humble king, not the son of David, the soldier, but the son of David, the healer. And David's son, Solomon, was known as a healer. The message is directed to Galilean pilgrims, including his own disciples, who see him as the Messiah, Israel's true king, comes in the name of the Lord. Words from the Psalms, from Psalm 118. He comes in the name of the Lord, one of the Psalms sung at Passover. He comes in humble obedience to God. So Jerusalem is in turmoil. But for Matthew, there is more than Passover commotion. For all his humility, Jesus has been a disturbing presence throughout Matthew's gospel, which continues as his entry gives way to his arrest and his execution as King of the Jews. Let's move on to the Philippians reading, which I just gave. This passage from the second chapter of Philippians is commonly thought to be a hymn or a poem. It starts high, it goes down to the depths, and then it raises again. A poem that Paul incorporated into this letter. Paul believes that Jesus Christ is worthy of universal acclaim, primarily because he emptied himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. We can't be sure what the lies behind these words. They may reflect the story of Adam. Jesus, self-emptying himself, counteracts Adam's self-centered grasping at divinity, which was denied to him. Jesus' journey to his undeserved, shameful death is utterly gracious. He gives himself away for the glory of God, who honors him before all creation. Like all hymn writers, Paul hopes that worshippers will live the words they sing. And a challenge to us, do we live the words that we sing? We love to sing. Singing's good for you. It's good for you physically. Do we live the words we sing? So, here we are, the beginning of Holy Week. in that chapter from Philippians. Paul speaks of Jesus humbling himself. We see this throughout the events of this coming Holy Week. In his choice of a donkey, yes, rather than a horse. In his silence before his humiliation by the high priest and by Pontius Pilate. In his nakedness at the cross. And in his humility and humiliation. Throughout it all, Jesus has such dignity. The journey to the cross was a unique journey for Jesus. And yet in a very real way, it's one that many have walked since. Bullies, sadly, continue to prevail in our world. Jesus was bullied, yes, and we can be bullied for our faith. I wonder if you've experienced that. However, the bullies here thought they had prevailed over Jesus, as bullies always do. But we know that humility and grace win out. We're not on this earth for our glory and praise, but for God's. We get to the light, the other side of Easter, if you like. We get to the light by traveling through the dark of this world, the dark of this week. Can you stay with Jesus? Can you pursue that path along with him? Thanks be to God.